Morning. Aren't you glad you came already? And you haven't even heard what I've got to say. Just kidding. Just kidding. Well, we don't have the scriptures up here for you. Didn't get them to Ryan in time. Didn't really know the ones that I was going to use before he left. You're not going to need to be chasing around some things in your Bible. And I think the Lord had just planned all this out this way because of what we're going to be doing, but also because there's only a few scriptures, and many of you are familiar with these scriptures, and the one that we're going to sit down and camp on will be later when it comes to the communion table, okay? So just bear with me. We're going to finish up the series that we started last week called The Road to Recovery, the things that God showed me about recovery as I'm recovering and when I was recovering right off the bat from the heart surgery. And he spoke to me as I was walking, and he said, you know, the things that you're going through and the things that you're having to do to recover are the same things that other people have to do to recover spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and all that. And it's common to man. It's common. So as we go through these, be reminded that it's not just so much physical, but it's emotional and spiritual as well. Okay? We talked last week about the first point that we made was before you can recover, you have to be diagnosed. And then after you are diagnosed, like I was diagnosed with the heart condition, after you are diagnosed, you've got to receive that diagnosis. You can't just say, well, I don't have that and never go back to the doctor, because you will die. There's a real good chance you will die. That's not walking in faith. That's walking in disobedience. That's also walking in some other stuff that I won't say. But it's not very bright to do that. Doctors are on this earth for a reason. God has gifted them for a reason. And I'm all for walking in faith. I'm all for declaring things as they were instead of as they are. I'm all for the definition of faith, the things hoped for, and the evidence of things that are not yet seen. But sometimes the evidence can come through some doctor visits and him telling you what's wrong and how to get better. You know, Richard went to the doctor just a few weeks ago. He was hurting very bad. And last week he was thanking God for medication. But if he didn't have medication, if he didn't go to the doctor and take the medication, he wouldn't be here this morning. At the best case, he'd be in the hospital, all because of some things that were going on in his body that doctors have been gifted to take care of. So before you can recover, you have to be diagnosed. Some things in life you don't need to remember. To recover, you need to forget about some past things and some hurts and some pain that are in your past. The Word of God says to forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing. So God tells us in His Word that we need to forget some things that we used to do, things that who we used to be, and also some things that have happened to us. You've also got to trust the people that God has put around you in the local congregation, the local church. There's a handful of people in any congregation that can help you get through what you're going through. There's a handful of people in every congregation that have been where you are and know how to get out. And can help you, just like the nurses that were around me in the hospital. They were specifically trained to deal with what I was having to deal with and to get me home as quick as I could. but not everybody in the hospital could do that. There was only a handful of nurses that were on that floor that could do that. They were specifically trained, and the same thing is true in the body. One of the other things we talked about was that some things you just can't carry. After the operation, I can't carry anything over 10 pounds. And when I start carrying anything over 10 pounds, my heart lets me know, just like that I shouldn't be doing that. A lot of times people are carrying burdens when they're not supposed to. They're carrying burdens when they're trying to heal themselves, and all they're doing is putting themselves back in the situation that they're trying to get out of. They're stunting their healing, so to speak. You also need people praying for you. Talk at length about what happened to me in the hospital and how I was in a very difficult and dark time, a place where I had no hope. Never been there before, Wayne, but I had no hope. And people were praying for me, and after God had three people reach out to me through a text, and after I was real with them on the text, within just a few hours, that lifted off of me, and I thank God for it. But to have people praying for you, you've got to let people know what's happening. No man's an island. Body of Christ is here for a reason. Prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's what James says. But there's also power and agreement. You've got to let your brothers and sisters know what's going on. A lot of people in a lot of churches each and every week are going through hell at home, hell on the job, a lot of division, a lot of destruction, and they come in the church with a smile on their face, and they come in the church and nobody in their Sunday school knows about it, their Sunday school director doesn't know about it, the prayer warriors don't know about it, and within a few weeks they're out of church because they don't think God cares or the body cares when you really haven't told them anything. We've had people leave churches before because they were in the hospital. And the pastor never came to see them because the pastor didn't know they were in there. They didn't make a phone call. They didn't let anybody know. And then when they got out and came back and weren't at the church for a while, the pastor went calling and they said, well, now you show up. And that's exactly what they've said. I know somebody that they said that to. They said, well, now you show up. And they said, what do you mean? They said, we were in the hospital for a couple of weeks last month and you didn't even come up there. He said, well, you didn't call me. You didn't call me. You got to let people know, but you got to have people praying for you. You may lose your appetite, but you'll get it back. One of the things that I lost was my appetite for everything except for the things that could cause me harm. The sugary stuff tasted the same. The sugary stuff, there was no difference in the taste. The sweet tea, the chocolate, the candy, all that stuff, the cakes, all that tasted fine. But the good stuff, the stuff that was good for me, four bites and I was done with it. I couldn't eat it. And the same thing is true about the spiritual condition that you may be in right now. You may have lost your appetite for the things of God, but keep eating. I didn't stop eating because I needed to live. I kept eating, even though it was a little bit at a time. I kept eating to keep me alive. And the same thing is true for us when we're going through that recovery process. You may lose sight and lose the taste, so to speak, of the spiritual things, but keep eating it. Even if it's a morsel at a time, keep eating it because your appetite will come back. And I'm glad to say mine is back, so praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to walk it out. God expects us to walk it out. One of the things they have you do when you get home, right off the bat, they have you doing it at the hospital, but they also have you doing it at home, is you have to walk. It strengthens you. Your walk with God will strengthen you, even if you're taking little steps where you are. It strengthens you. When I first started walking, it was walking this fast around the subdivision for 10 minutes, this fast. They called it a stroll. Now I'm walking 50 minutes, and I'm walking 3 to 5 miles, and I'm walking brisk, fast. But I had to start somewhere. It strengthened me to keep doing the small steps. And the same thing is true with you and me when we're going through other recovery, like spiritual and emotional. Now on to part two, finishing this up. After 3 weeks, I went to see my cardiologist, after 3 weeks after the surgery, Dr. Jokadar down at Emory. And I thought it was strange that I would see the cardiologist, not the guy that cut on me first, but that's a whole other issue. I guess it's normal. But I went to see him, and we get in there, and he's doing his testing. He says, man, you're doing great. You know, he was excited. You could tell he wasn't acting about it, you know. And he said, you're doing awesome. He said, in fact, when you want to go back to work? And I was like, man, you're crazy. I mean, you are crazy, dude. I mean, Josh, you know. I mean, we got in there, and I was getting tired just from having to walk in there from the parking lot and stuff because there was a grade to it and stuff like that. But he was like, man, I can't believe how well you're doing. He said, lift up your shirt. Let me see the scar. And he said, man, it looks like a plastic surgeon did that. He said, you're really doing well. And I was like, well, you know, I wasn't as enthusiastic as he was, right? He was way more enthusiastic about it than me. But it was because I was comparing it to what I'd always been through. And I'd never been through anything like that. So to me, I wasn't doing well, Harold. I was alive, and I was doing my best, but I wouldn't classify it as doing well. But one of the things that the nurses and doctors would tell me is that, look, you've got to realize that you have just been through major trauma in your body, and your body will react. And for some of you, that's where you are. You're forgetting the fact that you've been through some major trauma. And you're measuring how you feel now against everything else in your life when you've never faced what you're facing now. You've never been hit with what you've been hit with now. You've never had to go through what you're going through now. So it's going to take a lot out of you. You're not going to feel right. You're not going to feel good. But this is what you need to know. You're doing better than you think you are. You're doing better than you think you are. Patrick, how do you know that? How do you know that I'm doing better? I can't walk like I used to. I don't have the strength that I used to. Half the time I can't sleep. I'm not eating the way that I used to. My mind isn't the way that it used to be. How do you know that I'm better, that I'm doing better than I think I am? You don't know. Yes, I do. I know because you're here. And you haven't quit. You've got enough in you to say, I got to get to the house of the Lord. You're doing better than what you think you are because you're still studying God's word. You may study a page at a time. You may have a 5-minute prayer time, but you're still doing it. You're still doing it. You're doing better than you think you are because of all those things. And if the King says you are, than you are. Than you are. The great physician. The physician told me that I was doing better than I thought I was. Trained at some of the best schools and sees people in my condition, probably 100 of us a week. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's talking about. I'm the only one that I know like this, in this shape right now. But he knows everything. He knows all things. And if he says you're doing well, you're doing well. You know, after I saw Dr. Jokadar, the next week, you know, the only time that this thing hurt was when you coughed, sneezed, or laughed. And then it felt like a butcher knife was going through you. But other than that, your skin was just tight. It didn't hurt, and it caused your shoulders to kind of be tense. But hey, I'll take that all day, every day, right? It wasn't like I thought. But this one night, I was at home, and it was about 9 o'clock, and they had told me in the hospital, and they told me in my book that they sent me home with it, that I would have coughing spells, and it was just to get rid of what had built up in me because I was under for so long. So it was a wet cough. Well, this night I hit a cough like a allergic cough. It was dry. There was no end to it. I was drinking water. I was drinking coffee. I was drinking anything to try to get that to stop. And it wouldn't stop. It lasted about 30 minutes. And every time you're coughing, it's just killing you, you know, in your chest. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to go to sleep, number one? How am I going to stay asleep? What am I going to do with this? Do I have to go to the hospital? I'm not going here. I've got to go down to St. Joseph's in Atlanta. I don't want to do that over a cough. But how's this thing? Went on for like 30 minutes, just out of the blue. And then it quit. And after it quit, I went to bed and woke up the next day. And I was beat up sore, you know. And up until that time, I'd taken steps forward almost every day, just small little steps. And so I'd been going good until a few days prior, and then I just felt like I was getting stagnant. So that kind of put me over the top mentally into thinking and getting kind of depressed about what I wasn't doing and how I wasn't progressing. I was sore. I was hurt. My mind was going south on me, things like that. But that night, when I was getting ready to go to bed after beating myself up all day, I walked in my bedroom, and as soon as I walked in the bedroom, the Lord said, come talk to me. And I was like, okay. You know, all right. And I went in the living room, and I sat down, and I put my head in my hands. And I said, God, you've got to help me. And as soon as I said that, he said, Patrick, I am, but you've got to give me some time. The one that said, let there be light, said that he needed time. Sometimes God needs time, and you've got to give it to him. What's your other option? I'm helping you, but you've got to give me some time. And I was thinking, all right, that encouraged me. And then I got to thinking, I thought, you know, he said, let there be light, and there was light. But then the word also says, in the fullness of time, he sent his son. So there was a timing issue when he sent Jesus on the earth. But also, it took him 40 weeks to make me in my mother's womb. It took him 40 weeks to make all this stuff, but he did it. So if he needs some time, I'm going to give him some time. Don't get caught up in going down roads of saying, you know what, God can do it just like this. Do I believe God could have fixed me overnight? I do. But I don't know what he was doing in the T-I-M-E. I don't know what he was doing in that time. He was making me stronger. But what was he doing in me that I needed to have done in me? What was he doing to those around me that needed to learn something as far as treating me and treating other people? What is it that he was doing? I don't know, but he gave me assurance and said, I am helping you. You just got to give me some time. And the next thing that he taught me was that he can redeem the time. One of the worst things that I didn't look forward to was when the doctor said, you're going to have to sit at home for 6 weeks. Sit at home with the remote in your hand, basically just going back and forth to the kitchen to get your plate and walking when they say walk. Yeah, Wayne's exhaling. 6 weeks of doing nothing. 6 weeks. And I thought, man, that's a month and a half. That's, you know, I guess I'll have to do it. You know, I got to do it. And that was the worst thing that I hated about having to have this done. But God can redeem the time. I can't tell you how many times, it was probably 5 or 6 times that I looked at the calendar after the 6 weeks was over because I couldn't believe it went by just like that. It felt like 3 max. And I even asked Lisa a few times just to make sure that it was 6. I was like, look, who preached? We had Chuck Knighter the first week. Then we had Lance. Then we had David Franklin. Then we had Lance again. I was going through the people that preached on Sundays just to make sure that I wasn't missing something because God had redeemed the time. And when I started back to work at IBN, been gone 6 weeks from there too, got on the board. It felt like, because I didn't know if I was going to mess up the computer or say something stupid, more stupid than what I do sometimes. But it felt like I'd only been gone a week on vacation. Everything just came back. Everything was right there. He can redeem the time. That's what he says in his word. In Ephesians, he says that he can redeem the time. One of the things that people don't like to do when they're recovering is take time to get better because they feel like they're wasting time. But the same God that is the author and finisher of your faith, the same one that said, let there be light, can redeem the time in your life. Give him time because the one that needs the time to fix you and to get you right can rewind and redeem the time just for you. That's what he'll do. That's what he'll do. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Dr. Jokadar, when I went to see him after 3 weeks, I wasn't feeling his diagnosis as emphatically and enthusiastically as he was. I wasn't feeling good after the 30-minute coughing spell until God spoke. But then I was still kind of mopey and I had a little bit more of a positive attitude about it. But then I would go walking and just kind of go out there to walk, and I would walk by myself a lot of times in the cool of the day when she was at work, and I knew I was going to be okay and I wouldn't need anybody there with me, and I'd just kind of walk and kind of think about what I was doing, think about what was going to be happening in the next several weeks if I was going to get back to what I was before or better like they said I was going to do, just thinking about a lot of different stuff, you know, just having just this loop going through my mind. And then when Dr. Jokadar said that about me, and then the Lord spoke to the way that he did to me about that night, about him needing some time, I was like, okay, I'll give you some time and things like that. And I felt better about my situation. But one thing I wasn't was I wasn't all in faith like I normally am. I was going with it and I was walking the plan and I was doing the plan because I knew I was supposed to get better. But I wasn't doing it as full of joy and gumption as I needed to. And it was still because of this block that I had of negativity in my mind. But in that book that I have, and I tried to find it yesterday as I was making my notes to finish this point up, and I couldn't find it. But I know it was there and I read it. And it may be just that God put it there for me to see at that time to give me a message. And one of the things that I saw in that book that I'd missed for 4 weeks when I was reading through it was this, and I quote, your attitude as you recover will directly influence your recovery. As God is my witness, it was in there. When I looked last night, yesterday afternoon, I couldn't find it. It still may be in there, but I know what God showed me in that book. Your attitude as you're going through what you're going through is going to have a direct influence on that recovery. So what I started doing after I read that, right before I went out walking, because I was going through the back of the book, seeing, because it was a different week, seeing what I was supposed to walk like and how long I was supposed to walk during this week. And it was starting on Monday. So when I hit that pavement out there, I said, you know what? Bless God, that's what I'm going to do. I am the healed of God. I'm the healed of the Lord. He's doing something in me. He's making me stronger step by step. And he's going to turn somehow, some way, all things together for my good, even this. And I just started declaring it over myself as I walked that day and walked the next day and walked the next day. And I turned a corner physically, I can tell you. I turned a corner physically as I turned a corner mentally. And what I was telling myself the truth of God's word, the truth, and I was agreeing with him instead of agreeing with my circumstance. You can't agree with your circumstance because it's temporary. And the longer you agree with it, the longer you're going to stay in it. Let me read that scripture again, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, he says, and whatever is right, everything else between that, think about such things. Think about those things. Why did he say that? Because he knows our natural bend is to think about the lie of the devil. Think about the lie of our circumstance and how we're never going to get any better. It's never going to be the same. It's always going to be this way. But God's word for you this morning is that you are a child of his, and he knows what he has said about you. You're getting stronger. You're coming out. You're not staying in. You're going through. Amen. You're going through. And he's going to work it all together for your good. You are the healed of God. You're being healed. All he needs is what he said to me, time. You're better than you were 4 months ago. You're better than you were a month ago. You're better than you were 3 weeks ago. The devil's lying to you. All you have to do is look back on how far you've come. How far you've come. And the last thing is 7 years ago, sitting right where Stan is, pretty much, is when I made the decision with anxiety all in me during the meet and greet time of our church in between songs, where I looked at Lisa and got her attention. I said, let's go to the hospital. Now, it had shown a symptom on Saturday afternoon, and on Sunday morning, I had thought about it and rolled it over and rolled it over, and I was going to go to my doctor on Monday just to have him check me out. I felt fine. But as I was sitting there, I started making myself anxious, thinking about what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. So 7 years ago, I get her, and we go to Cartersville Medical Center during meet and greets so we wouldn't make a scene and nobody would see us leave. And they admit me. And as they admit me, they find out what's wrong. That showed itself as just somebody that needed to be in better shape. That's all. There was no pain. There was no nothing. Just showed itself as me being out of shape and needing to get in better shape. What the Lord showed me is that if you make the right decision, it can save your life. If I wouldn't have went 7 years ago, I would be dead today. And that's not embellishing anything. Because I know me. I'd have ran longer, Gary. I'd have ran farther, I'd have ran faster, and I'd have went to the gym, and I'd have lifted weights. And if this thing got as big as it did with me taking it easy, probably 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I'd be out there. She'd be a widow, they'd be without a dad. The right decision can save your life. The right decision can save your life. And that goes right in with what we're talking about and looking at this morning. The right decision, when it comes to eternity, can save your life. The way that you can make the best decision is by looking at your symptoms, like me. What I had was symptomatic of a heart condition. And I made a decision based on what was wrong. If you're not born again, if you're a person that's ever been born, a human being, you've got, because of the Garden of Eden, a sin problem. All you have to do is live with yourself for a week or even a day, and you'll see it. It'll show itself. It'll show a symptom of you having something wrong with you. But the answer is Calvary. The answer is the blood. The answer is the body and the blood. The answer is what we look at today. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 26, and we're gonna see the Last Supper and how that plays into everything. Making the right decision can literally save your life. And Memorial Day is a great reminder. This weekend is a great reminder of the greatest sacrifice that men had for the freedom of others. And it should be celebrated. Some of those folks, all of those folks, when they went off to war, when they went off to fight, didn't know if they'd come back, Harold. And a lot of them didn't come back. They didn't know if they would die. But Jesus came to die. He knew that he would. He knew that he would. Just for me and you, that's the only reason that he came. And 19 years ago, I made the right decision that saved my life. I made the right decision 7 years ago to go to the hospital right here in town, and they diagnosed me after 4 days of being in there. But 19 years ago, I made the decision that would change everything for me. I made the right decision as God spoke to me on that golf course. And because of that, other people have too. Isn't that something? Not because of me, but because of what He did to me. You see, and the same thing is true with you. As you become born again, it doesn't just affect you. And I say it all the time on the radio. When you become born again, it's not about you anymore. It's about what He wants to do through you. It then became about my wife, and then it then became about my kids. You know, He told me one time, I said, Lord, I thank You for the river. I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for salvation. He said, Patrick, the river changed the trajectory of your life, but also changed the destiny of your family. All because of a decision that I made. When I didn't know when I made it that it would have that kind of an impact. But Jesus Christ is that kind of guy. 19 years ago, I made the decision to surrender my life right there on the golf course. She's glad I did. They're glad I did most days. I'm glad I did every day. I'm glad I did every day. So no matter if I went to the hospital 7 years ago or not, heaven will be my home. But as long as I'm here, I can help other people get there too. Not by beating them over the head with the Bible, but just by living life. Just by living it out. 19 years ago, who would have thought? I mean, there's no way I would have thought 19 years ago that God was going to do what He did and what He's doing right now. There's no way. Maybe that's where you are. I don't know some of you. Some of you I do know. But maybe you need to be born again. Today's your day. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. And you already know that. You already do. You already know that. That's why you're here. God's already been working on you. You know there's an issue. You know that there's a symptom. And you think this is the right place for you to get fixed. And it is. It's the right place for you to get fixed. Not just diagnosed, but fixed. See, Cartersville couldn't do anything with me. They could just tell me what was wrong. But God, in His sovereignty and His power and His mercy and grace, can fix you right up. Or maybe you're one of those that used to walk with God, used to run with God, used to be excited about the things of God, and life happened, and maybe you got hurt, like we're talking about with this series, and it set you back, and you never recovered. You just got angry at the church, you got bitter at the church and the people in it, and you got bitter and angry at the God of it because He let it happen. And you walked away. Maybe that's where you are. We're going to give you some time. As the deacons come up front and we play some music, I'm going to give you some time to roll that over in your spirit, roll that over in your mind. What do you need to do? Where am I in the grand scheme of eternity? Where am I? Do I need to surrender my life to Jesus? Do I need to come back to Him? Because as they were singing earlier, the table has everything for you. The table has everything that you'll ever need, not just everything that you want, but everything that you'll ever need in your life. The right decision can save your life. And the right decision is always Jesus and following Him.